All right, excellent, guys. That was great. Great podcast. Woo,
that was like a fun podcast.
Let's give each other a hug.
I barely noticed I screwed up at all.
I'm so proud of all of you.
God,
Tim, wait, Bob Ross, what are you doing here?
Most people don't hug around the waist like you, Tim. But goddamn.
Well, you know what makes my hug special, Phil?
What's that, Tim?
A little squeeze.
That is
painting,
a little
squeeze.
That's a good squeeze.
Painting this bush.
Yeah. Paint this bush. Let's make it a happy bush.
Yeah.
So I learned that from John Candy.
That's what I learned from all the ladies.
Oh, make guys, it a happy. I don't know about you. I think I'm going to take a little nap.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little bush myself.
Can I nestle upon your belly?
I insist that you do.
Oh. Ooh.
I insist that you do. Like,
we don't do gay porn.
2 hour yawn.
No, Peter, those aren't fit there. Guys.
What?
Guys, wake up.
What?
God, what? Wake up.
Is it the best part?
Is it Christmas?
Shit. Have we been? No. No, no. It's never been almost. No.
It's never
guys.
Christmas.
My God. My beard is so long.
It is.
Your beard is so long.
It is. It's
and,
glorious.
And Peter's facial hair is.
Parts of mine fell out.
Yeah, parts of yours fell out. Dude, how long have we been asleep?
Long enough for Peter to get morning wood.
What, 5 minutes?
I don't have to sleep for that. I get that for...
You just have to wait for the morning.
I get that for daydreaming.
It's like a werewolf with the sun.
Hold on. There's this large calendar upon the wall with pages torn from it.
Okay.
Let's investigate. It says... Oh, God. We've been fucking asleep for a month.
We almost made it through Black History Month without waking up.
Oh, so close.
So close.
Guys. Guys.
What?
Guys.
Fuck Maya Angelou.
Oh. And that's why
apologies
we have
apologies to Maya Angelou too.
That's why we
Electric
have
Boogaloo.
That standing apology to Maya Angelou.
Oh,
okay, well,
what's she gonna do? Write a mean poem about us?
Yeah, she will.
It's not like she's Paul Ryan or something.
It's not like she's relevant anymore.
Okay. We're starting.
She made the pancakes, right?
No, that was Aunt Jemima.
Close enough.
I thought that was Mrs. Buttersworth.
Oh. This is I Mean This Is a Friend. I'm Tim.
I'm Phil.
I'm Chris.
I'm Peter.
And have we got a show for you. We have been very much asleep for the last month, which explains the decided lack of podcasts, and also the reason why the live show didn't go up until this week. But you know what? I have a day job. And,
joke's on you, Tim. Rust never sleeps.
Rust?
Yeah.
Is that a biker that you met, or do you mean like actual Rust?
I think I heard it.
In theory, doesn't Rust only sleep because it's Rust? Like that's
yeah,
all. That's on Rust's day
does.
Job is
yeah.
Rust.
I don't say this a lot, but I'm going to go with Chris on this
yeah.
one.
There's a first for everything, Tim.
I guess so. But yeah, we got a couple of things to talk about. And the first thing that we'll go ahead and mention, of course, is that you can find us on Podomatic. You can find us on Facebook, but you can also find us on Stitcher Radio.
Stitcher Radio!
The smart way to listen to radio. You can download it on your iPhone or your Android phone, or you can get a little desktop widget if you go to the website at Stitcher Radio. But yeah, you should download that because that's where we are featured, and that's one of the many places where you can listen to us. But
Tim,
on the face, I'm sorry.
I still want you to do that. Like you're very excited. Like get good, get Stitcher Radio. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to. Just listen to it.
Come on. just do it.
All the people with the deep voices are telling you to do it.
Come
Stitcher
on.
Radio to the max.
And that's
extreme.
That's the voice in my head. I listen to is the one that's got the deepest, you know, bass in it.
That's because that's how you gauge like the talent of anyone is just how deep their voice is.
Yeah.
Stitcher Radio.
To be fair, Darth Vader, most talented person ever.
That's true.
Yeah, and Morgan Freeman has a deep, rich Mississippi Delta.
Oh, yeah.
I hope if I ever go crazy that the voice in my head sounds like Morgan Freeman.
I know that when you go crazy, it'll sound like Robin Williams.
Oh, wait. Mork and Mindy Robin Williams are like... Funny on Broadway with Robin Williams.
I was thinking it'll be like Insomnia Robin Williams. Remember that movie where
Our photo was...
That was an awful movie.
I cleaned her nails.
It was dreadful.
What Dreams May Come.
That was... I finally watched that, and I was like, this is silly.
I haven't seen it. I just heard it's sad.
I still can't get through it. Like, I've
tried. There's nothing to get through. It's just like, oh, okay, we gave the art direction, like, $1 billion.
Yeah.
Really great. But it's like, okay, he's dead, and he's looking for his wife. I don't... Because she killed...
But it doesn't seem that difficult to get to his wife. Like, nothing's actively trying to stop him. It's just people's negativity.
Yeah, like, everyone's like,
you can't do that! And he's like, I'm going to. And they're like, well, all right.
We're not going to stop you. We're just saying that you can't do
that,
it.
You know, like, there's no Cerberus, like, guarding the gates of hell, are they? It's just, like, really sad people, like, in an ocean, like, nah, like, stay in the boat.
Stay in the boat. I never heard it compared to Jaws.
Stay in the boat.
But we had a couple of suggestions for topics that I will immediately dive into.
When are we going to get trolls?
I would really appreciate just one good solid troll that isn't
that
one of us.
Nice. A dedicated troll.
Yeah, so, go kill yourselves.
You know what it is? You know what it is? We need a nemesis.
We do. We
you know, it's not just well enough.
We need
enough
another local podcast.
We can compete against one of the local news networks.
Another quartet.
Sonny Dixon, we're coming for you.
WTFC.
I want to know who my Bizarro is.
Bizarro Chris Davison?
Like, the Bizarro, they would have to be so polite.
Chris Soucy.
Really?
That's the exact opposite of you in just about every way.
Wait.
Is that true?
Decent.
He's
kind,
a chick.
funny in a clean way.
All right.
Unfunny in a horribly dirty way. I don't know.
So, one of the
I just got to hanging out with him tonight.
One of the suggestions that we had was the comment reads, "I mean this as a friend, but you're an idiot for dating him/her." Which I read that and I was like, why are they mad at us?
Yeah,
do we have a troll? I mean, not like
anybody.
And then when you finish reading it, when your friend makes a bad relationship decision, do you tell them or not?
No. There is a Percy Sledge song about that.
Go on.
When a man loves a woman, if you ever listen to the lyrics of that song,
yeah,
doesn't matter what you say to him.
Yeah.
Can't keep his mind on nothing.
Yeah,
else.
He'll sleep outside in the rain if she told him that's the way it's got to be, like, you know.
But really, if you're a friend to that person, do you really want your friend sleeping outside in the rain? Because, and I say this, loving my girlfriend very, very, very deeply, but sleeping outside in the rain ain't no pussy worth that.
Well, that's what you say. That's what you say in a well-adjusted relationship. It's like a well-adjusted guy. But there are certain relationships where you get, like, when you're in the fucked up state and you're like, I'll sleep in the rain, baby, whatever. Like, you can't tell that person anything.
That's true.
I'd punch my own mother in the face for a half-hearted hand job from Scarlett. So, sleeping
outside
the rain.
Well, who here wouldn't?
That's what I'm saying. Some pussy is all
right. Right.
The fact that it's half-hearted would make it better.
Yeah, weird.
The fact that
yeah.
she didn't like what she was doing, but she was doing it anyway.
Is there eye contact?
Like, you
oh,
want a...
God, I hope not.
You mean like you want a radio station?
So she can't see my shame.
You won a radio station contest for a hand job. She's like, "Fuck, why do I do this?"
So,
Connor, 106.1.
I think, you've got to keep. There's like a point that you keep your mouth shut for a little while.
Yeah.
True, you can't do anything, but it will get. It's like any other, you know, emotional drug response. You know,
yeah.
You've got to. At some point, there is the breaking point.
Well, yeah, when it gets to, like, misery, like,
type
relationships.
Yeah.
Like, dude, she broke your legs.
Yeah.
So you would be together more often.
I remember
telling you. But she cherishes my time.
I remember telling you that exact thing when you were dating Kathy Bates. You remember that?
Yeah.
I told you, dude.
And he was like, no, bro, she's got great big tits. And
Kathy Bates can suck a mean penis, I'm just saying.
A mean penis.
A mean penis.
I think we found the title for today's podcast.
Mean penis.
Mean penis.
I'm one mean penis.
I'll say this.
Look, it has a mustache.
It's constantly Popeye.
I know what I'm doing tonight in the bathroom with a Sharpie.
It's wearing a leather jacket.
Yeah.
Chains.
Are you giving it a snively whiplash mustache?
Top
Put
hat.
A little top hat.
Yeah. Chris, do you...
Well, I was going to say two things. One... I know for a fact that I have many a time been the guy that their friends are saying, why are you with that idiot?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where, like, I've always treated the girl pretty damn well. So anytime I'm around those people, I've always, like, on one hand, it's like I try to be peaceful and nice. On the other hand, if they really start fucking with me, I just start... being me to the 11th degree and just rub it in their faces. I'm just like, yep, I'm happily with her. Squeeze the hand a little bit.
Yeah.
I just know for a fact that
yeah,
I have a long...
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hand.
Hand.
Yeah.
This is mine!
This is where my penis goes.
Speaking as the man the only man here, as far as I know, that actually like got married and went through a divorce.
Oh, I thought you were just going to end it as
the only man here.
The only man here. No, no, no. You don't make sure man's fucking responsibilities. That's what I got.
No. But having gone through a divorce, I remember I called my dad after the divorce started happening, and he was like, "Yeah, well, I can't really say that I'm surprised. You know, like don't take this the wrong way, but I'm not necessarily surprised that you got a divorce." And I was like, "Well, you know, if you would elaborate, I'd appreciate it." And he said, "Well, by all means, I will." He said, "You know, it's not like, I mean, you were young, you were 22, you were happy, and like, you know, you could not, I just know you that you could not have been talked out of that." Mm-hmm. You could not, like, there's nothing that anyone could have done or said short of murdering her, or you.
I had the same thing. We never got married, but we were engaged. I was with her for 9 years, and my family liked her and everything, but when it ended, and I called my parents up and told them it was over, there was absolutely no shock on their end.
Well, it's because you'll do that thing, especially in that age, where you'll do the Luke Skywalker thing where he got his hand cut off, and they're like, "Dude, she's no good." That's not true. That's impossible. Having your hand cut off won't convince you that.
Well, after a certain point, there's a certain level there where it does become your own. It can be, anyway. It can be your own self-esteem wrapped up in the idea of this human being, in the sense, not necessarily. In the idea of this person, this is the last chance I have for anyone ever to be attracted to me at all. Not necessarily, although that totally happens, but at least in the sense of like, well, I've invested all this time, you know, which sounds awful, but it's true. You know?
No, yeah, that's one of the things I hate near the end of a relationship. We're like, fuck, I have to start all over.
Oh, man.
I have to start wearing pants. And
I have to...
There's that other thing, though, where, like, when you're with that person, if you ever have, like, an agenda or a calendar with that person where it's like, well, if I break up with her now, then we won't go to SeaWorld together. Or there's that something that you were going to do together that's like, I would have so much fun if I did that with her. Like, even if we're fighting just a little bit, if I got to go, whatever, insert whatever item you planned on doing. And then when you actually do break up, that entire laundry list agenda falls in your lap, and you're just like, oh, here's that cherished memory we didn't have. Here's that other thing that we were supposed to do that never happened. Oh, never met her parents, whatever. I was supposed to buy her this for Valentine's Day because we always talked about doing that on Valentine's Day, and it's just a bummer.
I do that with weird stuff, though. Like, one girl I was dating, I was inviting her to help me build my castle by hand that I'm going to build somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Of course.
And now that we're broken up, I don't really care because I'm still building the fucking castle, whether she's attached or not. Maybe that's because I'm self-centered. It'd be the same.
Well,
like,
now you have to make a murder hole especially for her.
Now, you have something to keep in the dungeon to torture the slaves.
She'll work out in the fields as a serf.
Yeah, and I'll close the gates when the Mongols come.
Wearing a burlap sack and just looking wistfully at the castle, wondering what
might
have been.
I'll tell you guys, I knew it wasn't going to work, but she's like, we have to put an elevator in it because I'm not walking upstairs. And I'm like, it's not going to be a fucking elevator in my goddamn castle! The fuck?
I've totally had that. We were hanging out with a chick and you're just being silly or cute or, like, wistful about, like, you know, the future. You don't even mean half the shit you're saying. You're just joking. So, yeah, we'll have that house on the beach, you know, with the thing, the. And she's like, no, I want a house in the mountains. And you want to go, it's in the beach! I'm not living in the goddamn mountains with you. I will cut you open with a fucking hatchet.
Not for real, not in my mind, not in your mind.
It just turns. It just,
your relationship in that moment has been ruined by the imaginary $1 million for your town.
Did I tell the story about the gun in the mouth on a previous podcast? Because it was the same
joke. Yes, you did.
Metaphorically speaking.
Yeah, so,
no, it was. But I feel that given the topic, it is something to reintroduce because it has been a month since we've done anything.
It was the same girl, so I'll repeat it because I don't know if anybody's listened to the other podcast or what I got into about it. But we were watching a movie where a gangster and his wife found out it was a gangster and said something about the cops. So, like, they had this tussle on the stairs and he, like, put a gun in her mouth and was like, if you ever tell the cops. And I was like, honey, so theoretically, if you were going to go to the cops and I put a gun in your mouth, like, would that be the line, like, where we break up? And she got all out of sorts about it. Like, I can't believe, why would you put a gun in my mouth? Like, well, why would you go to the cops about me telling the cops?
Of course,
kidding, turn into a real fight. So that was just like metaphorically, if I put a gun in your mouth, like.
Metaphorically? Like, Peter, did you renew your fishing license? Gun in the mouth.
Yes,
you said this wouldn't be the breakup moment.
Yeah, that's why I always like to find out what the line
is. Was that
is.
Before or after she asked for the elevator to be installed?
I think that was after. She also didn't want to name our future kids after X-Men, which I was pissed about. So I would try to sneak, like, X-Men names in when we were talking about kids, and she'd be like, oh, that's a nice name. Wait a minute, is that from X-Men? No.
Storm Griffin.
I just want to name my kid Nightcrawler. Can I name my kid Nightcrawler?
We're not naming our kid Professor Xavier.
He has to do something first.
No, come on, we can call him
Griffin. Storm Griffin's pretty bad, but Aurora Monroe Griffin is an even more like way up.
Well, a child whose head you shave every day and then break his legs. Professor X Griffin. Apparently doesn't go over well.
You're like the coolest wheelchair. And you just stand in front of his crib and go, now read my mind.
What did you do? I gave him a polio blanket as a baby and didn't get him inoculated. It was the easiest thing in the world.
Thanks, Jenny McCarthy.
You sociopathic Jenny McCarthy. Jenny McCarthy, you got this one right.
Oh, God. We're, what, 15 minutes into the podcast and we're on our third cunt?
Jenny McCarthy School for Gifted Youngsters. They don't have superpowers. They have super diseases.
They're dangerously, dangerously ill.
They have something called rooftop.
Whooping cough?
Not whooping cough. It's just this thing called rooftop.
No, we'll just call him Banshee. That's fine.
Banshee. There you go, Banshee.
That's how Jenny McCarthy is trying to improve the human race.
I'm the Iceman because I'm so cold.
I have low blood circulation.
I'm dying.
Help me. Jenny McCarthy rapes me every day.
Wait. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. That's Jenny McCarthy rapes people.
Did I tell you why I was really mad at her? Because I found out apparently even
I'm
if
glad
I'm...
we have someone we can go after now.
Even if I'm immunized... If enough stupid people don't get immunized, it'll get strong enough, and then I'll get it. And dying of polio never factored into my life plans.
I mean, that's evolution of practice. Yeah. Anyone's done
well, like, in like Oregon and California, they have like record cases of whooping cough and these
thanks,
things
liberals.
That yeah, the things that I thought that we had figured out. Like, yeah. And my dad's a nurse, and he grew up in the 50s, and he was like, I remember when they came out and they had the polio vaccine, and because like he was living in the mountains in Georgia. And, that's, like, polio was something that happened to people, and now it's
not. And
they
got all out of sorts.
We're almost about to cure AIDS, pretty much, right? There's some research on AIDS that just came out. There's a protein thing.
They found the protein that blocks. They found a protein.
Government's going to tell me I can't get polio.
It's a huge step towards it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a while yet, but, I mean, still, that is a pretty massive.
But it will happen in our time where, like, there will be something where we'll cure cancer or we'll cure AIDS with a vaccine or something that you have to do, and it won't feel right to the hippies, and they'll go right back to we can cure AIDS with gluten-free pork or some shit. I don't
know. Well, that's like they did in Africa when they first had the AIDS epidemic. Like that, everybody's like, yeah, pretty sure it started in Africa. One of the nations was like, no, it's gay Europeans. Like they said, that's who it came from. And they go, but it's okay, you can cure it with lemon juice and garlic. Like, well, that's what they were actively telling people.
So that's not vampirism?
I'm pretty sure that's what they said about AIDS.
There's a horrible thing, if I could bring this up on a comedy podcast, there's a horrible thing where there's like folklore or folk medicine for in Africa that they will say, if you have sex with a virgin, it will cure you of AIDS.
Yeah.
And it's so, like, guys are going out and they're raping virgins, and not only are they getting raped, but they're getting AIDS.
Is Jenny McCarthy behind that?
I haven't seen a picture of her not doing that.
That's true.
So, yeah, that's true.
That's what she spent most of her time doing after Singled Out.
What are you hiding, Jenny McCarthy?
Yeah.
You know
transparency!
She went one way and Chris Hardwick went another.
Teach the controversy.
I would really appreciate Jenny McCarthy to just do hardcore pornography. Like, I remember I watched the video of her, like, Playboy Playmate tape, and she was just getting naked. Don't get me wrong. greatly appreciated.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing, and she's...
she's got them yellow finger titties. God damn!
She takes off her underwear, there's smallpox all over the place.
I hope that's smallpox.
Is that a check out the rubella on that?
Well, we can only ask Jim Carrey. But no, it was just like, okay, now she's going to have sex with a guy. And that's when it dawned on me that that's not what Playboy did. And it was, I think that was the moment when I became a man.
Yeah, when you're
when I realized that Playboy. When I realized that the world wasn't a beautiful place.
You found out there's much harder stuff out there than Playboy.
Yeah. You graduated to the heroine of porn.
My dad would be horribly embarrassed that I would share this story, but one day... This is the story of how I got my first porno mag.
Flashback.
Tim is about 12 or 13 years old. I was pretty sure I was 13. And in the mail came that published clearinghouse that, you know, if you pay $1, we'll give you like 10 subscriptions to these magazines that you're really paying for later, but whatever. And one of them was Playboy. And my brother Jordan, who was like 14 or 15 at the time, was really excited. Like, hey, you think your dad buy us a Playboy? And I was like, I don't know. That's the way I sounded when I was, you know, 12, 13. Yeah, right. Oh, I don't know. So we
that's when you just look at your brother, but you call him my daddy a faggot. And he's like, what? Why do you talk like that? You're only 12.
And why do you have a southern accent, Tim? But no, we went to, like, Jordan had the nerve. He went to my dad and he said, Dad, can we get a subscription to Playboy? And I was like, well, you can't get a subscription, but if you want a Playboy, I'll buy you a Playboy. So we went to the mall. My dad went with these two. I'm sorry?
How old was your brother?
He was like 14 or 15.
Okay.
And so we're going around this mall, and my dad's going into these shops, and my brother and I are standing outside of these shops, like their bookstores or whatever. And my dad's going up to the counter and asking them if they have Playboy. And there are these two, like, expecting boys right outside.
That's so weird.
And so my dad... My dad comes out in this, and he has it in this like little black bag, and he goes, okay, here it is, just don't look at it until we get home. And I'm like, okay. So we're sitting there, my brother's holding the bag, big grin on his face, we're like, we're gonna see boobs. We get home, and unsheathed from the black plastic bag was a penthouse. Which we learned
way worse
was totally different from Playboy. To this day, I don't know if my dad
the
ever
articles
liked.
Are much less classy.
Yeah, you're about to step away from Butt Lust magazine, like.
I mean, yeah, that's
or
that's,
Asian cherries.
Yeah, that's
Principle. I'll be perfectly honest. Like, we eventually got a Playboy, and I remember reading Playboy and liking Playboy.
I think that was your dad's way of, like, when he catches you smoking, make you smoke the whole carton.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you want to look at porn, huh? Let's look at Penthouse. Oh God, I feel.
It was actually that magazine, that particular issue of that magazine, that I learned that peeing is a thing. Like, that's, wow. Like, peeing, like, there was the woman, I remember, I was looking at it, and the woman was, like, you know, sticking stuff up inside her and doing all this stuff, and I was, like, looking, and then all of a sudden she's peeing, and I was, like, I remember looking at it, and I was, like, well, she's all oiled up, but I don't understand where that water, oh my God.
Yes, sweet.
Sweet God Almighty.
I remember, I had my iPad, and I was, I was up in North Carolina for the comedy festival, and I was out, because I went full tourist on my first day there, because the first show wasn't going to be until later that night. My brother was working all day, and I've been to Raleigh before, but I decided I wanted to go to the museums and all that shit. So I went to a couple art galleries and went to the Natural History Museum and the History Museum and all sorts of fun stuff. And I found a place for lunch. And at lunch, I had my iPad and they had a free Wi-Fi thing there. And I don't know do any of you guys go to thechive.com?
Mm-hmm. Every now and then.
I love the Chive. The Chive is, I'm a chiver. Basically, it's this men's, it's like the Maxim for the internet. And it's just pictures and stuff. And it'll be a funny picture here and a sexy picture here and stuff. And girls who read the Chive are called chivettes,
mm-hmm.
and they will send in pictures of them scantily clad and stuff like that. And it's never nude; it's like half naked, but very, very fucking erotic. Yeah, very good stuff. And I'm sitting there and I'm flipping through them there, and there are, you know, and you'll flip through the pictures. It'll be a hilarious picture and a cat picture. And then here's this chick, you know, with post-it notes over her nipples, and that's basically it. And I remember, like, just looking at it and not... You'd think, you know, I'm in a public place. It's lunchtime. Everyone's around. And I'm not really doing much to move too fast for the picture. I'm like, all right, got my fill of that. Oh, funny cat, you know. And I was transported back in my head to being 16 years old in high school on the New York choir trip. Because every year the choir that I was in for high school would go to New York and we'd see a couple of Broadway shows and shit. And my friend... Sephra went and we were on a bus and we hopped out at one point and she ran to the magazine stand and bought me a Playboy because I had asked her to and she had just turned 18 and she bought me a Playboy and gave it to me and I was so excited about it and like flipped through and like would hide it in case any of the teachers were coming around and thinking how at 16 years old how like that was the pinnacle of like dirty and dangerous and all that shit, hiding in the back of it. And here I am, you know, 30 years old at the restaurant in the Natural History Museum, flipping through half naked amateur pornography basically, and really not disguising it in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, she's got post-it notes on her tits. What do you want to tell me about
really
it?
Not really giving a shit. Mm.
My buddy's dad, he told me he was in his teens, and his dad goes, "Come on, check this out, son." Takes him out in the backyard, this old broken down car, and like pops a seat down, and there is like the mother of all porn. Mm. Just tons of magazines. Like, all right, you want to, you know, it's all out here. Don't tell your mom. Just in a broken down car in the yard. That was his.
That's redneck clever.
Yeah. No, they were Mexican, so I'm assuming that was how everything's done in Mexico. It's an old Spanish tradition,
that's
right?
That's where you give birth. That's where you have a broken down car.
That's where you have your funerals.
When I was in sixth grade, I lived in this place that people weren't supposed to live in. It was advertised. It was advertised as a resort.
Right.
It was advertised as a resort, but essentially what it became was low-income housing on Hilton Head. And it was, it used to be the Hilton Head Four Seasons, but it became the Hilton Head Resort. And I would have to get up at the ass crack of dawn and wait for a bus at 6:20 a.m.
Mm.
And it was fucking cold and awful. And essentially what had happened was it was so cold and awful that there are guards. It's a you have to, everywhere on Hilton Head, you have to have like a pass to get in, and a guard lets you in. So the guards would let me sit in the guard booth so I could be warm. And they completely forgot that they had a stash of Playboys back there that I was so into, until they busted me one day and then completely got rid of it, except for the occasional one that I still found. So there was months of every day I would get up and look at boobs. And I used to think that it was somehow related to Morningwood at that point. It was just like, this is just...
This is you.
This is
and me. I hadn't masturbated yet. That was the funny thing. I hadn't figured out how to masturbate at that point. I was just looking at boobs furiously. Like, I would watch Showtime and shit whenever it came on for free for hours, not touching
that
myself.
That had to be the bane of parents before the internet, like, when, especially when you didn't pay for it, and, like, it would just come on, but they wouldn't advertise.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it! Like,
so
came out of nowhere.
So, in conclusion, Hot the, answer, tell. The answer to your friend's question...
Right.
Is leave him alone and, you know,
get a
Playboy. If it gets out of hand, buy him a Playboy.
Let him work it out.
And never forget, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife.
But from my personal point of view,
get an ugly girl to marry you.
Well, indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be our theme. Like, do you think it's in the public domain? The rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife.
We gotta pay royalties.
But no, we didn't sing it long enough to have to pay royalties.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, so the next soft topic that was suggested, I won't reveal the name. However, she did comment on the Facebook page, so you could look this up if you so wanted to.
Well, it's weird because then you said, I don't want to reveal. I'm like, Cindy, Marty, Sally.
I guess what we're getting at is we're not doing your homework for you, listener.
Yeah, you go to the Facebook page.
You care that.
You give us some activity
on that.
We
just halfway, damn it.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I so wish we had stalkers, like people who cared enough about this podcast to really do that.
Don't you remember you told me you love me, baby?
Don't you remember Santa come around there, maybe?
Yeah.
Isn't it like the anniversary of her death or her birth or...
Wait, are we talking about Chris Farley or...
Karen Carpenter.
Oh, the Carpenter. Okay.
You know, I'm still sang Superstar. I want a David Spade, you're Chris Farley, Phil. You don't remember that at all?
That's the sweetest proposal I've ever heard. When,
Tommy Boy or Black Sheep?
You mean when Phil dies, you want your career just to limp on?
I never got into Chris Farley thing.
And he was all right. I mean, he was funny.
I was watching an interview with him, and I think it was Conan, and I love watching him just in interviews because they were asking, like, where do you get this thing from? He's like, oh, you know, it was my dad. Like, it just randomly, he would just blow his stack. Like, hey, I thought I told you kids, shovel the work!
So a friend of mine, she and her boyfriend were dog sitting for a dog that the boyfriend, we'll say his name is Wessie. Okay.
The dog or the boyfriend?
I'm changing the name to protect the innocent.
Get a new boyfriend. Next question.
Yeah. Bam! You heard that, Wary? Anyway, so Wary and Wessie are sitting and they're watching this dog.
What are you, the guy from Star Trek? They're sitting in their Wessel.
And they're sitting in their apartment.
Is this now a Teve Torbs?
And they're watching this wog and this
eating
white
Winneman Wost Wunsch.
Turn from that to a wisp. It is. I mean, this is a twin.
You both need to shut the wuck up now. So, Wessie and Wary are watching this white wog, this very, very fluffy white dog, and in her defense, she said that Wessie said that he said he wasn't going to dog sit for the dog, and then their friend showed up with the fluffy dog and said, here it is with the dog sitting, and it's like, well, we didn't say we would do this, but okay, we'll take your dog. Anyway... So Wessie got drunk, as Wessie is wont to do, and I can tell you many stories about Wessie, and he ate a pizza roll, but it was 2 in the morning, he was drunk, and pizza roll
hot.
Was extremely hot.
Sure.
So he bit it, and he went, ah, ah, and then he spat the pizza roll sauce. The look on Phil's face is fucking priceless right now.
Realize what happens.
Spits all
it's
over
like
the dog.
A cherry tomato.
So it hit the dog on the side. The dog didn't burn.
I was about to say, was it hot enough that it hurt the dog?
No, the dog's fine, Phil.
That's
honestly
what I was
worried about. They're
fuck bitter. Everything else. The dog's fine.
Those things are fucking molten, man. Like, that could fuck
that, it. We haven't asked about Wessie's mouth.
I don't care about Wessie's mouth.
You should.
Get a new boyfriend. Next question.
So anyway, Wessie has erupted pizza rollness on this white dog.
Oh, I see. This is
and now there's this pizza stain on the dog, and it was like stained, like there was nothing it could do. And so he's like, no, wear it. I got it. And so he gets a sponge and some soap and tries to clean the dog. And that apparently just made it worse. Now, when the friend shows back up and the dog still has the stain on it, it's kind of dark. So they just kind of gave the dog back and
they
just
didn't
mention it. Did they do the right thing?
Okay.
That is the question.
Okay,
I'm sorry, that is the question.
It's not a sitcom. It's a dog, not a carpet. Just wash it. Put it in the bathtub and
or
give it
shave
a...
it.
You know? Give it no, just give it a dog bath. Like you know, like for the love of, go buy some dog shampoo.
It was 2 in the morning.
It started. It does sound like an episode of Family Matters.
Yeah.
Oh no, we got pizza sauce on the white dog.
So then we have to buy an identical dog,
exactly.
And then kill this dog.
And then they shave the dog and try to glue all the hair back on after putting it in the washing machine. And
but they bought crazy glue instead of the right glue. Mm-hmm. Is there a right glue?
I mean, yeah, they did the right thing because it's just pizza sauce and it's a dog. It'll grow back, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think the dog
did
cares.
Did they do the right thing? Yes, they did.
Yeah, well, when you're not asked to dog sit, like, you know.
Yeah, because it sounds like they kind of got shanghaied with the dog.
And they didn't get paid anything.
Yeah.
No, just you know, a lot of worry.
It's not like they're professional dog sitters, like this is their livelihood.
Well, I hope not, because they're terrible at it.
Honestly, what they could have done, if they were mean, It was just like, look, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take a shit in the yard. Then I'm going to spray it with something that makes the dog like it. Probably just more shit, because dogs like shit. We're going to fence him in. We're going to let him do whatever he wants. He's going to roll in the shit. We're going to say, oh, the pizza man came. We opened the door. Your dog ran out of the house and rolled in shit. Like dogs are wont to do, because we didn't ask for this responsibility. If they were evil, that's what they would have done.
Well, that seems way more complicated than what I would do. Like, what happened to my dog? I don't know. Dogs rolling shit. That happens. Shit gets on dogs because they're fucking dogs. That's why I don't have one and you do. Good night.
What happened to your dog? I ate him. I mistook him for a pizza roll.
I'm really surprised that we didn't suggest more kill. You should have killed the dog.
No, you should have killed the owner. That way there's no questions. Dog can't talk.
You show up, you got a dog skin fur rug on your fucking floor now.
I mean, like, if the animal doesn't die or suffer serious injury, it's like, there's really no harm, no foul.
That's
like,
exactly it for me, because it's true. It's like,
it's a dog.
That's why I assumed the dog got burned. To be burned or something, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's fucked
up. He got drunk and put the dog in the oven instead of the pizza rolls. Couldn't figure it out until he saw the frozen pizza rolls on the counter. Like, what the hell's that noise? Oh, shit.
Another thing is the same person, Wary, she was talking, and we were talking about something, I think, she's from up north. And everyone else in the office is from Ohio, and there's a couple people that are actually from Georgia and all that. And we usually give her, a good ribbing for being from New Jersey, for no reason. There's nothing wrong.
Joyzy!
And I forget now how we got on the subject, but me and another Georgia girl were talking, because I'm a Georgia girl myself. We were talking, and we were talking about, something, 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 and then mulatto. We said mulatto.
Are you singing Nirvana?
No.
You're like, something, 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 and mulatto.
And then Wary turns and she goes, you mean like the cookie? And I went, what? She said, like Pepperidge Farms, they have those cookies. And I went, mean a Milano? She said, yeah, isn't that what you said? And I went, no, I said mulatto. Yeah. She said, what's that? And I was like, President Obama.
A mulatto was a cookie that neither white nor black people like, and it really fits in with nobody's taste.
To be fair, I mean, a Milano cookie, it's like chocolate in the middle and then white on the outside.
So
instead of
saying Wigger, we really should be saying Milano.
Did you explain to her?
It's the opposite of an Oreo.
Yeah.
Did you explain to her down south that there is a very, very keen race classification?
I know, that was, she said, no, I think.
It was a slur for a long time.
I think.
It is?
Well, that's the thing.
Some people will say that's a slur.
Said it as I used that term once as a matter of fact. I was like, oh yeah, mulatto. And they're like, sure, you can't say that. I'm like,
it's like saying colored or, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, mulatto is, like, the way that I understood it to be was an archaic term that was, like, part of, especially in South America, like, that was something that was very much,
Word. It sounds like the Italian cookie.
I found out the same thing about the word Chinaman.
Yeah.
Didn't realize Chinaman was a racist term.
A thing.
My dad said Oriental, and I said, yeah, we don't say Oriental anymore.
Yeah.
I said, why?
Yeah.
They're from the Orient. I went,
it's not called the Orient anymore.
They don't call it that either.
The first time I heard, they were like, Oriental's a rug. It's not a person. Or something like that. And I was like, what? I had no idea. I had no idea. It's bizarre.
Well, I can't remember if it was Tim or who I was having the Chinaman conversation with. They go, what are you, from the 30s? Chinaman? I'm like,
sounds like something I would say.
Like from China. Like, I didn't realize that it was a...
Put two words together.
You're Chinese. Well, there's nothing wrong with that word.
I don't know.
Why say Chinese? Just say Chinese.
Because Chinaman...
Say Chinese.
Chinaman has a ring
Chinese.
To it.
Say it now. Say it.
Only if you say dirty knees, look at these.
I'll play your third grade games. Because they're the only games you know how to play.
That's true. I haven't progressed to playing games on a fourth grade level yet. That's why I can't make a relationship
very
work.
Specifically third grade.
So, things happening in Savannah include, or things that have happened to us while we were napping.
It got bitterly cold.
It got stupid cold.
I opened the door the other day to like a Charles Dickinson novel outside.
A Charles Dickinson novel? Yeah, is that like a Charles Dickens novel?
Is he friends with Bruce Dickinson?
Is he like that? Is he a cheap hack? Is he like the James Pratchett?
He's a South African children's novelist. I was thinking he was Bruce Dickinson, the well-known music producer who's in desperate need of more cowbell.
Opened the door and it was all cowbell. No, it was bleak outside.
But Phil, you had the North Carolina Comedy.
North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival. That was a lot of fun.
I assumed it went horribly because I never heard anything else from you about it.
It was fun. I really had a great time. People there, I met some really talented comedians and some people who are on the same level as us and are just, you know, doing the same thing we're doing, you know, just trying to get out there and get some attention and taking, you know, jobs wherever they can get them and but also, you know, it's funny, I think we all had that, you know, if someone says, well, what do you, you know, where have you played? You know, they want to get the greatest hits, and I'll be like, yeah, I played at the Hollywood Improv, or, you know, now I'll say the Comedy Arts Festival, or something like that, and everyone had that kind of thing. You know, everyone had their little greatest hits track, and so we were all, it was like we were trading playing cards of ourselves. It was a lot of fun, and there were some really great people. And there were also some people who were really not great at all. And,
oh, that's so comforting.
Yeah, I love to see. I love to see the occasional person at like a place like that do terribly.
And that's exactly what it was. It was the perfect ratio because it was enough. It was mostly talented people that you like were like, I'm not insulted being side by side with these people. I feel honored to be able to be performing with these guys. And every now and then they throw just enough people who are terrible in there to make you go, you know, I'm doing
it. Oh,
how chuckle.
I remember when I was out in California to hang out with fucking Keeler and then my buddy who was interning at the Nerdist. We went to see a show at Flappers and we saw, was it Darren Carter, a white guy, does an amazing Snoop Dogg impression, really funny guy. But this chick who opened for him was so fucking terrible. And I was like near, so close to just heckling the shit out of her. Like she would ask questions to the audience, get no reaction, just get angry. And it was one of those things where after watching it, I was just like, the knowledge that she's getting paid for this makes me so happy. It's like, yay, I have a chance. I have a chance to be better than this hack.
Yeah. I could get paid for this one day.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun.
And your set went well?
The sets went well. The audiences were not always great as far as a number of people there. But you know what's funny? It was all learning, though. It was all good. There was no bad news because you know what I learned about performing? Performing at 10 o'clock at the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival has in common with performing at 10 o'clock at any show in Savannah, Georgia. No one shows up.
Until you said that, I was like, God, I hate your positivity right now.
No, they're not coming. It's too late. And we did get a lot of people, but a lot of them were comedians, you know, and they were very supportive. I've certainly have played for rooms in L.A. in particular where the audience is entirely comedians, and they don't want you to do well, so they make a point not to laugh. But this was not the case. Everyone was really supportive. And
I've never felt that way. If there's a comedian on stage, like, doing really well, I hate it when a comedian sucks because I'm there to be engaged and entertained. Yeah. Like, so I want people to do better or get off stage, but, like, one or the other, like, you know.
No, yeah, but it was a lot of fun. I got to perform at the local 506, which is a rock club down there, and at the Dirty South Comedy Theater in Carborough. It was a hell of a lot of fun. I got to hang out with my brother, got to tourist out, went to a couple of used bookstores and a few museums.
I wish we had more of those in town.
Excellent.
What? Museums, bookstores?
A used bookstore.
We've got a couple.
There's only two that I know
the
of.
The Book Lady is my favorite.
Yeah, that's... There was one, I don't know if it's still there, it used to be on the south side where Little Caesars and Media Play used to be. But that was mostly
right
like,
the Staples and the Publix.
Yeah, that was mostly like, come in, trade in your Harlequin novels for more Harlequin novels. Like,
do you want some Harlequin novels?
Yeah.
Because if you have a formula down pat once... It doesn't matter.
We've got a collage in the back. It's great.
It doesn't matter what is it doesn't matter what's on the outside.
There's
these
lust
are books
here.
That you don't have to judge by their cover.
Did you ever go to a used bookstore when you were a kid and a ton of them had the covers ripped off?
Mm-hmm.
Because you had to do that when you bought a book to sell at a used bookstore. You had to, for a while there, that was a law with a lot of paperbacks. You had to tear the cover off to signify that it was used or something like that.
I always remember seeing that, like, the cover's torn off, blah, 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 don't read this by this. I'm like, is there a huge market in, like, fucking counterfeit books? Like, is that really a thing? Like, guys, like, come on, I got some books in the truck, you know, just around the alley.
Come on, man, we got some Playboys back there.
Got some Steinbeck, got some Hemingway, man, bottom basement prices. Come on, man.
Shoot me up.
Yeah, like.
Come on, you gotta get your Hemingway fix, man. Where else are you gonna get it? You gonna get it from Barnes & Noble?
It's just always like,
bounce you like a lead dime.
Is that a thing?
It was a hell of a lot of fun.
Excellent. Chris, you've been doing, there's a new weekly show at the Trade House.
Yeah, I've actually had a lot of fun. Me and my buddy Shane Gray have started a brand new venue. What used to be the Rooftop is now the Treehouse. And we have a weekly Wednesday show, and then followed by an opium mic. What we have is...
Like, you almost say opium?
I was going to say, like, I almost heard an opium mic.
Come
like,
on in. Come to the mic. Hang out with the Chinaman. Get your opium fix.
Peter, Chinese. Chinese.
Look, if it's an opium den, they're Chinaman. I think that's the difference.
he makes a valid point.
I can't argue
against it. You're going to go to an opium den and split hairs?
Yeah.
Are you going to be a man and shoot up?
I thought you were going to say you're going to go into an opium den and split cow towels.
Come on, Kerouac, let's make this interesting.
Come on, man. What are you, a bag?
Oh, God. You're square.
But right. Anyways, the open mic.
We have an open mic following it. So we have, like, it's three comics a week doing 30-minute sets. So 90 minutes of your semi-pros, and then an open mic followed after that about 10, 15 minutes later. And it's just a weekly show. And one of the best things about it is because it's weekly and because it's like three of probably a handful of local comics, the way it rotates is you are constantly hearing the new, sharpest shit that any comic is putting out. Like, we've had Phil on there. We've had Peter on there. I just looked out. We had Susie on there tonight, who I haven't heard in the longest time, but he was great.
I was shocked how good that room is. Like, they were great. They were
it
there.
It really was.
They're fun crap.
Yeah. We had, you know, Wrath Nasty's there. Shane's the host. And then also the best thing about it is when, you know, that regular patch runs a little bit thin, we're also having people who are showing up, doing their sets for the first time at the open mic, and then depending on how much material they have, like, you know, we've been taking some people who've been doing, you know, let's say the most they've really ever done is, you know, 10, 15 minutes. Well, with the second open mic at Taco Bajo and then this one, you know, people are getting to that 20, 30 minute marker a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you got your first solid 20, 25 minutes. Show us what you can do.
Right.
We're going to give you, you know, a small chunk of change. You go up and you entertain this crowd for 20, 25 minutes, and it's really, like, as far as the economy of comedy goes, it's something I'm really happy to be a part of.
Well, hi, Jeannie.
That was like the show we did at the Wormhole. Completely threw me off when everybody was there to see us perform.
Yeah.
And so I would, like, tell a joke, and I would get laughter, like, and applause, and I was like, ah, what? You mean I don't have to compete with the ball game and, like, deal with that heckler in the back, and then the guy with the pool stick waiting to beat me after the show? Like, it was...
The homeless person isn't asking me for money mid-joke?
Yeah, it's like when I ask a beautiful woman out, and she says yes. I'm like, wait, what?
I wasn't expecting this reaction at all.
Completely thrown off.
I don't have to chase her at all.
Yeah.
I can put this fucking... Rehypnol away. I was going for the gas one. What's the gas one? Chloroform.
I was gonna say, Chris, just be classy and say a Rufinol omelet. That's the classy way to do it.
Crab eggs before and after.
Well, yeah, you know, once you roofie a girl, you know, when she wakes up, you want to have something for her. It's just being.
My mouth is going to be weird.
Very dry.
Yeah,
I think that'd be great if you just
roofie a girl. No, from at all.
Hold on, you roofie a girl. She wakes up. You didn't do anything to her. You just wake her up with the omelet. just like, ladies, have this omelet taste great after.
Are roofies. You really contemplating using roofies for the forces of good?
Ladies and gentlemen, Stitcher Radio and their affiliates in no way support the use of Rufinol or in any way support the sexual assault.
Or Acme Band roofies available at all.
I like at one point we said fuck Maya Angelou, and now we're worried about offending people with roofies.
Well, I like to think that Stitcher Radio in no way supports Maya Angelou either.
Oh god. And Peter, you do stuff.
I've been riding the bus to work lately and it has been exciting. I am serious. We almost killed a guy the other day. Because those things cannot stop on a dime and you should not drive out in front of them.
Buses are notorious for being large.
I rode next to a guy today that looked just like Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Oh, God.
That was exciting. When I got on the other day, who was there sitting behind me but my old boss who was recently fired?
Yes.
That was awkward. So where are you going? You know, to work, that place that told you you don't come in anymore. How are you doing? Obviously not well because you're on the bus. How are the kids doing?
Starving.
Yeah.
Since the last podcast we did, we had Shell Shorts.
Yeah.
At the Bay Street Theater, went really well.
And if you don't promote something for yourself, Tim, I'm gonna promote it for you because yes. I printed some shit out for you the other day.
You did?
Pictures yeah. of Tim's penis. I've got to say,
they look great.
They look great. Yeah, I mean,
I only had to blow them up a little bit.
It's kind of
I appreciate that.
It's kind of like an Instagram level low quality to them. It's like classic.
But the lighting, yeah. Is so good.
Well, you know, you work really hard to get that sheen.
You know, a lot of times people throw out the name Patrick Stewart when talking about Tim's penis. It's very dignified in that sort of way. You
commands a room.
It's commands got, a room. It's
does
it's,
a great Macbeth.
It's got worry lines in it in the most beautiful way. Furrows like the surface of the Death Star.
The
like,
stage presence.
You know, just X-wings flying in and out of it. You know, just
While there are a few women in this world that would actually be able to confirm everything that you're saying, precious few women, but they're there.
They exist.
I'm remarkably uncomfortable with three men who I know have not seen my penis.
Your dick looks like Courtney Love broke up with it.
Like, it's Tim. Tim, you do realize you sleep sometime, and you can't guard it all the time.
I want to point out, these are three men that you know haven't seen your penis. These are three men you think haven't seen your penis.
Yeah, one of them lives with you, the other two in
these
the
are three men that I hope.
Your girlfriend is a skilled artist, and we can have her do a rendering.
That's true.
At the drop of a hat.
You know how absolutely correct you are, and how that heart harrows me with fear?
I'm just going to say, somebody should request that. You know, on our page, that Morgan do a rendering of Tim's penis.
I think pause for editing.
I think our new challenge for our fans is draw what you think our penises look like.
Oh my god, that's great.
No, I disagree with all of these things.
Hey, wait, you don't have to draw Tim's, but the three of us are in.
Yeah,
we are so down.
How many piercings do you think Peter's is going to have?
Oh god.
Whoever draws it,
can you see it through the hair?
It'll be a chicken bone.
Would you put me on a steed really? When you draw me, whoever draws me?
Hold on, I just imagine Peter's dick looking like a sad hitchhiking David Banner at the end of the Hulk, just along an old dirty road
that's not a thumb sticking out for hitchhiking. No.
I thought you were going to go, with like the Red Skelton Sad Hobo.
They're going to go with Red Skelton doing the impression of bacon frying.
Okay, side story though about the penis thing.
We haven't stopped talking about the penis.
I know.
But check this out. A friend of mine is active with a healthy amount of dick in her life, for lack of a better term. And she was dating a SCAD photography major, and she showed me the dick pic that he sent her, and the lighting was fucking amazing. Like, there's clearly a tripod set up at some point. Mm. The depth perception on it, I was just like, a lot of effort went into this. And it's like, he had a great cock, too. So,
yeah, see, I was just like, I want photos of my penis to be grainy, and I like the bathroom light being low. Thank you, whoever did that with public restrooms. You've done my penis a favor.
But I'm just saying, his dick could have been on, like, the cover of Time. Like, it was just...
That's
so
classy.
You
were in the bathroom as long as you were.
But Chris, you were saying before we started talking about my dick, you were saying that you printed something up.
Oh, yes. Our fellow podcaster, Tim Reynolds, fancies himself a bit of a playwright, and is
going... Fancies myself.
He fancies himself.
Fancies himself all the time.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing it right now.
Legendary dick, but go on.
And I'm not sure, is it this coming Saturday, February? Finish the sentence for me, 23rd. Is it Savannah Theater Company?
The Savannah Stage Company, which is a new organization in town, and very, very, very active and very much a go-getting organization. Really great group of people, Jamie Tinty and Brian Pridgen and Wesley Pridgen.
They're so cool.
And they're really, really, like, just really excellent people.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's like you meet people that nice, and maybe it's because I'm from the South, but I meet people that are that nice, and I'm just immediately suspicious of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I don't trust you.
What is it you want from
what
me?
What do you want from me?
Like,
you want
to take
my land or my slaves?
I
don't know.
I thought they were
going to
sell me magazines or drugs.
Yeah, but anytime anybody comes up to me on the street and is nice, I mean, like, what do you want?
Or you Jehovah's Witness? What is this? Yeah. No, but they're very genuine, very kind, and very loving people. And I had written a play called Beautiful Boy that I sent to Jane. She's the artistic director, and I sent it to her, and I sent it to a couple different people to read, and then, you know, let me know what they thought about it. And she read it. She came back. She really liked it, and we talked about it, and she said that they wanted, at the Savannah Stage Company, they wanted to do a series of readings of plays, you know, by local playwrights, new works, and that sort of thing. And she asked me if, you know, she wanted, if I would be okay with that. And I was like, well, this is advancing far beyond what I assumed was going to happen,
right,
which was, oh yeah, this is good, and you know, there's this, that, and the other, and all that. But no, she was really active and engaged, and they have a cast, and it's going to be at Indigo Sky Gallery Friday. No, not Friday. Saturday, February 23rd. There will be the reading, and then there will be a post-show discussion featuring me.
I show up and ask Tim all kinds of questions about his penis.
Yeah,
I will answer no questions about my penis.
We will, though, and we'll be there.
Your decision to add Paul Ryan into the cast.
I did not cast this show. But no, but I'm familiar with more than a couple of the actors that are in it, and I wasn't able to attend the rehearsal for it this past time around because of pressing engagements, I assume it's going to be great. But when I sit down and watch the show on Saturday, it'll be new to me.
Yeah,
because I finished the rewrites on it last week.
There you have it.
Yes. So yeah, there's a lot going on. And then also on Monday, I have I'm directing Reefer Madness, the musical for the Bay Street Theater.
Reefer Madness.
And that's going to be auditions are February 25th and 26th, and the callbacks will be on the 27th. And the show goes up the last two weekends of April. Yes. I'm probably going to wear a bow tie at the audition.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Tim, it's great. It's not nearly quite as exciting as riding the bus to work, but I mean, you're trying. God bless you.
Is there any chance they're going to do a repeat showing on the 20th? I just think that would be
Of my penis?
Of Reefer Madness?
Of 420?
Yes.
Yeah, one of the weekends I'm pretty sure was selected specifically because it would be 420.
So wonderful.
Yes. That's what I love about the Bay Street Theater is that they're cool people, and they also make like smart decisions like that.
You realize as director, though, as a responsible director that I know you are, you will have to utter the phrase, please don't perform high.
Yeah.
Several times. You're going to have to remind them, look, this is an actual play.
Yeah. It's like, I appreciate method acting as much as the next guy.
Yeah,
however,
but for God's sake.
There's blood and violence, and there's guns and fight court and fighting and dancing, and no one can be high.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's dangerous.
I don't know about you guys, but I have never really been able to perform drunk or high. I've never really.
Unless I was riding the bus.
Unless you were riding the bus.
Yeah.
There was one time, and I won't go into details about it, but there was one time I did perform a show high, and it was absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just
it's
like,
kinda,
I don't
It's kind of like you're living that actor's nightmare dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've tried to do Comedy High a few times, not very many, and just like I'm not clicking, all my timing's
I
off.
I'd never be able to do it high.
I've done drunk, but
I've done drunk too, and it's never as good.
Well, even drunk, yeah. There's that level of like I can drink enough to loosen up and take the edge off, but I step
it's
beyond
very
that.
Specific for me, there was a very specific ratio, and I can have I used to have it down to a science. I'd go on stage with my fourth beer in hand, and it was a brand new beer. I would never have no more, no less. I would have had three beers by the time I got on stage, and the one I had in my hand was my fourth. If I had more, I'd get sloppy, and my rhythm and my timing would suck. If I had less, my hand would shake, and I would clearly be nervous.
Well, there was one guy that performs with us that said the other day he had a pretty good show, and he said he found the perfect like alcohol to tree ratio. And then he did another show like the week after, and I guess he had fucked up the ratio. Because he got up there, and the audience was digging him, but he was just like, and then like got off like real quick, and we're like, dude, what are you doing? Oh, man, I don't know. It wasn't really working. Like, everybody was everybody was digging you. Like, oh, man, it was in, like, that's why you
hazy?
Don't. Huh?
Hazy?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, well, that's why you should probably maybe not.
Well, we're talking about people who've done drinking. He's had some really good sets lately.
Yeah.
Fuck it, I'll mention him. He's the guy who's the former host of the Taco Bajo show. Stephen Mays has put out some really good, funny shit lately.
And he's stuck in Athens right now because their car broke down on all of them.
Yeah, oh, that sucks.
I'm kind of glad I didn't go with him because my car wasn't reliable enough to make it up. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll ride with you guys.
Yeah.
Thank God for my day job.
All right, and one last thing I did want to mention. You have a show coming up at the Wormhole.
Yeah, I'm hosting another. We're doing benefits down at the Wormhole, a monthly benefit. And this month we're doing the Salvation Army and the local Savannah chapter. And our headliner is Brooke Cochran, and featuring Wrath Nasty, two of my favorite goddamn performers, and I'll be emceeing, and it's donation of $10 at the door. It all goes towards a good cause, every last dime of it. So come on down, this will be a lot of fun.
Excellent.
And one last thing, I don't know when this is going to go up. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. at Coconuts in Bluffton, we're going back to Coconuts. DJ's running the show out there now, and it's going to be me, Brooke Cochran, Brandon Kiefer. And I want to say Wrath Nasty. I'm not 100% sure. It's Derek. Which, if they're, I hope to God they're not still in Athens.
Yeah, I don't know how they're getting back till they get their car fixed.
That's gonna be peculiar. We're gonna have some time to fill.
Guys, then our listening audience knows what to do because we have to leave on a cliffhanger. Will Derek be at the Coconut Show in Bluffton?
Will Derek be there?
Will Peter ever get married?
Was it Officer Bob Brady? Chef?
Will Chris ever put his pants back on?
Will Darth Vader escape in his TIE fighter out of the furrows in Tim's penis? Find out next week.
Next podcast on I Mean This Is a Friend. So I want to thank you guys for listening yet again. Keep in mind a lot of stuff that's going on. We'll have more information about it on the page, on the Facebook page. You can also find us on Podomatic, iTunes. I keep on forgetting that we're on iTunes.
Yeah.
Ever since that new update, I just didn't give a shit. But we're on iTunes, we're on Podomatic, and also on Stitcher Radio, the smart way to listen to radio.
So don't be stupid. Listen to Stitcher.
Smart way, you fucking idiot.
What are you, a Neanderthal?
You knucklehead, you blockhead, you
Chinaman?
Listen to Stitcher.
okay, alright. Alright, and this is one last time. I'm Tim.
I'm Phil.
I'm Chris.
I'm Peter.
And we mean this as a friend.
I do imagine your penis is like a really long brain.